The Bastards of Boston Baseball Podcast.
Back to Folk. Red Sox fans have longed to hear it. The Boston Red Sox are world champion. Game over, series over, and the Red Sox are world champs again.
Yes, indeed. Here it comes. Another edition of the Bastards of Boston Baseball.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to another hot stove edition of the Bastards of Boston Baseball. Tonight, we will do part one of our five-part series covering the MLB TradeRumors.com top 50 free agent projections list. So we're going to be doing numbers 41 through 50 on that list tonight. It'll probably take, I'm guessing, a couple of weeks to cover all five. Some of them might even come off the board before we get there, but we're going to get into them. We're going to see whether or not they are a fit for the Red Sox, and if not, we'll just talk about their general projection. If you're not on Twitter or any form of social media to get your news, I highly recommend MLBTradeRumors.com. I go to it daily, at least a couple of times. If I haven't been on social media all day, that site will just get me caught up a little bit quicker if any major developments happen. And they don't even wait for official stuff to happen. If it's a rumor, they'll get into it. Hence MLB Trade Rumors. So it's a very good site if you're not so much into social media. So we'll be getting into all of that. With me tonight, Jeremy Schilling, Steve McGreevy. How are you, gentlemen?
I'm good, Terry. I'm in the reality zone on the Soto deal, so I'm well grounded. Unlike the people that actually think the Red Sox are going to spend $600 million on one player.
I think they might. But like I said in the last episode, so if no one's listened to it, go back to it. I think every team that's in on him is gambling on he will opt out after age 29 or 30 and then hit the market again. I think that's why teams are going to be into him. So to me, it's going to come down to whoever front loads those first 5 years the most. I could be wrong.
I can accept that.
I could be wrong, but I think that's the scenario in play.
The gamble is that he doesn't blow a knee rounding first base in year four and you're stuck on it. And I would not, I don't think the Red Sox are not risk takers, and that kind of deal is just, to me, reckless.
Well, we'll see, but I don't question the sincerity. I just question the execution and the competence level in terms of getting it done. So we'll see. Nonetheless, I mean, we are going to be trying to match some of these guys up with the Red Sox. I think they're sincere. I do think they want to win. Because we haven't heard this type of consistent rhetoric coming into December in a long, long time. In fact, not since Dombrowski. So it's always been very cryptic and whatever. And I'm not saying I'm an optimist. It's horrifying to me that Craig Breslow, Sam Kennedy, and one or two other guys are the ones handling this. They have the Fort Knox of systems here. You can. I'm not saying I want it to happen, but you could trade Duran or Casas without trading your prospects and get a big piece. I've never seen so many viable scenarios in play. So, and just if you do listen to the last episode, I did mention an openness to trading Duran. I'm going to amend that right now. I'm only open to it if we do get Soto. If we don't get Soto, I'm not moving Duran under any circumstances. But if Anthony's going to be up in a few months, Rafael is going to be your Jackie Bradley Jr., I'm okay with moving Duran if it holds on to Teal, Anthony and all of them. But anyway, let's get into it. So we're going to start at number 50 on this list. That is going to be a guy who has spent most of his career with the Detroit Tigers posted a 7-something ERA with them last year, got traded to the Phillies, pitched mostly long relief, and finished out the year with them with a 2.65 ERA. He is projected to get only a one-year, $7 million deal. So for comparison purposes, in Red Sox speak, that's about what we gave Michael Wacha a few years ago, 2022. So similar deal. And ironically, Wacha had a terrible year in 2021 before getting to us, but flipped the switch the last 6 weeks of the season. So possibly a similar trajectory for Turnbull. I'm personally not interested because I'm assuming he's going to be a starter. And we've got plenty of back-end depth. You got Cutter Crawford. I'm going to put Lucas Giolito in that category until he proves otherwise. You have Richard Fitz. So I think we need to focus on the front end of the rotation, and he does not meet the criteria for me. He would be a great candidate for an Atlanta Braves-type team, maybe a Cincinnati Reds-type team as well, but not the Red Sox, in my opinion. Jeremy?
I couldn't agree more. As of right now, I would think the starting rotation is Giolito, Hauk, Crawford, Bale, Pivetta, Richard Fitz, and Worcester. We don't need any more right-handed pitching, especially a guy that has had Tommy John coming off a lat strain. He's also had a forearm injury, a neck injury, a back, a shoulder. So there's no use for this player on this team. We need lefty starting pitching. This clearly to me is not a fit.
Steve, thoughts on Turnbull?
Yeah, I mean, he's just kind of the ho-hum. We were shilling. He is another right-handed guy that could, probably work out of the pen. I'm sure Cora could do something with him, but there's just nothing really there that fits a hole for us. So, I mean, I'm a pass on him, trying to make a move or anything. As far as where he could fit, I could see the Blue Jays picking him up. They like little cheap projects like that. The thing that comes on there with it being cheap like that, that'd be the only thing that I'd see the Red Sox getting interested in. They're picking him up on the like super cheap and just adding him as another piece that they can float around. That's really all I got on him. I mean, he did turn some stuff around. Sub 3 ERA towards the end of the season. Yeah, no. Yeah, I can't see it.
Jeremy?
Yeah, I had a Freudian slip and listed Pivetta in the rotation. What I meant to say is the person who takes his spot has to be a lefty.
Oh, yeah. Totally agree there. And this guy, even if he was a lefty with these, no, he's not the guy.
I think he does have upside, but he's just, his career trajectory isn't where the Red Sox current trajectory is. I'm rooting for him, and I hope he does well. He's a former, I think, a first round draftee even with Detroit. They missed on a lot of them. Casey Mize was another one. Spencer Torkelson, another one. He had an okay year last year, but still far short of the hype he once had. So just one of those Detroit cast-offs. But I hope Turnbull finds a home and turns it around. And maybe coming into next year's free agency, he'll have a lot more momentum behind him. Steve?
He'll definitely find a home somewhere, but just to clarify, he was a second-round draft.
Oh, was he? Okay. He had a lot of hype as he was going through the Detroit system. So, but, yeah. All right, let's move on to number 49 on the list. This one, not a sexy name at all. Harrison Bader, 1 year, $8 million projected. A few of the trade rumors writers have him going to the Angels, Athletics, and Marlins. So even they don't seem to view him as a critical piece. He probably profiles as a fourth outfielder at this point in his career. he's had a lot of injuries, not a ton of pop either. I mean, only 71 career home runs going back to 2017. Career 242 hitter, 306 on base. I just don't see a ton of value there. He did catch lightning in a bottle with the Yankees there late in the 2023 season. But other than that, his career has been very unremarkable, and I don't see a fit with him on the Red Sox. I mean, we have Rob Refsnyder, for crying out loud. You know, that's certainly, I would say, an upgrade over Bader. But thoughts, Jeremy?
Yeah, I mean, he's a plus player. He's a 0.9 war for 2024 and 13 total war for his career. So he's a plus player, good defensively, runs well. But we already have a fourth outfielder that I think is a better offensive player, like you mentioned, in Refsnyder. Rafael is in center. If Abreu's not in right, then either, you know, Soto or one of the guys coming up will be. It's just a complete redundancy. He projects an hour outfield as a fourth or fifth outfielder. We already have one. So this is, to me, is just a clear cut, not a fit for the current Red Sox big league club.
Steve, thoughts?
Yeah, I kind of agree. He seems a bit redundant there. His defense is great, but we've already got players. Again, it's redundant. We've got players that can fill that role. I don't see him really hemming up anything that we don't already have. So I don't see that the Red Sox are going to take an interest in him at all. I think that where you said he might land at the Angels, I think that's more indicative of the type of player he is. He's going to land somewhere where someone's trying to do a cheap rebuild. And because, I mean, he's going to come with probably 10-ish per year contract. So, I mean, people are going to try to flaunt that as like he's the guy that's helping them rebuild. So I could see him landing in the Angels. I could see him, maybe not the A's, but maybe the Reds. I don't know. But he's got a place. He'll find a home. I just don't think it'll be in the Red Sox.
Yeah. All of those fringe teams that need a, you know, an inexpensive option out there will probably be interested. Maybe he'll have a veteran presence for their younger players as they're coming up over the next year. But again, not a fit for the Red Sox. Number 48 on the list, we're not going to really spend any time on. It's a Japanese player that I have quite frankly never heard of, and I don't think any of us really have. But in case you see his name pop up somewhere, it's Shinosuke Ogasawara, and he's projected to get 2 years, $12 million. The trade rumors writers have him going to the Padres, Guardians, and Athletics. One of those teams is not like the other two. I will point that out. It looks like he comes from, he's pitched in Korea and also Japan. Not really seeing here whether he starts or is a reliever. Looks like he is a starter, but again, not a fit for the Red Sox at this point, you know, where they're at. So we'll skip there.
He is a lefty.
Oh, is he a lefty? Oh, I'll make it a 10% chance. I almost dropped an F-bomb.
And he's 27. He's only 27.
But that's like 37 in American years.
You and know. Six years. I mean, I don't know what the money's going to be on, obviously.
No, 2 years.
Yoshida, there was one.
Two years.
I'm sorry?
He was projected to get 2 years.
Okay. Yeah, I don't know where the money's going to be, and there's always one stupid team like Yoshida. There was a stupid team. You know, I hope they're doing their due diligence on this guy. Doesn't throw hard. According to Baseball Reference, he sits at 91, 93 with a fastball, low 70s curveball, mid 80s changeup, small frame, but young. I don't see anything about an injury history. So obviously none of us have seen him play. So the analysis stops there. But The Sox have shown a willingness to sign international players like this, so I think they're going to kick the tires and see where the money's at.
Sounds like a Tampa Pittsburgh move to me, but any thoughts?
I think he's going to fall right in at Cleveland, honestly. Like with what they're trying to do, I think he'll fit in there well. I mean, you got to tip your hat to his walk rate. He's got control. So in the right situation with the right coaching, I think the guy could do pretty decent. Not for us, but I say Cleveland. But
yeah, his walk rate is elite according to MLB trade rumors, but his strikeout rate leaves a lot to be desired. So I would recommend a pitcher-friendly park for sure, just in case he ends up being more of a pitch-to-contact guy. But next on the list, this one is interesting to me. That's David Robertson, who's been a reliever for the bulk of his career, most notably with the New York Yankees in the earlier part of his career. He spent the last season with the Texas Rangers, had an ERA of an even 3.00 ERA in 68 appearances. That was over 72 innings. Keeps the ball in the park, only gave up 5 home runs all year. So that's nice, especially in a place like Fenway. This is the mind-boggling thing for me. In his age 39 season, he had a 12.4 strikeout per nine. That's elite. So I'm not worried about the age. I mean, nobody's going to be giving this guy a multi-year deal. It's simply year-to-year, probably at a semi-high annual value. Major League MLB trade rumors has him going 1 year, $11 million. The teams they suggest, the Nationals, who I think could take a step forward this year. They could be the Orioles of a couple years ago. Cardinals and the Dodgers. So the Cardinals probably aren't going to be contenders based on some of the rhetoric, and Bloom is probably going to be selling off some pieces there. Nolan Arenado, one of them. But nonetheless, I think this is a guy the Red Sox should be interested in. I think Chris Martin had a bit of regression, and that was to be expected because he was so good in 2023. You're probably not bringing Kenley back, and he's not a guy I really want back. Robertson's been around a while. He's pitched at Fenway quite a bit, all those years with the Yankees. I think he fits the bill. I mean, he's a great insurance policy if a guy like Liam Hendricks doesn't quite bounce back to what you're hoping he will. And Hendricks hasn't really pitched a full season since, I think, 2021, 2022, and he'll be 37 this year. So I would be interested in Robertson at that price. Jeremy.
I'm interested at that price. My only concern is you already mentioned Hendricks. Chris Martin's up there. I think he stated in September that he thinks next year will be his last. There's three guys in a bullpen there that are at the end of their career. / we don't know what we're going to get out of them type of situation. And I think Robertson's probably the best guarantee of that bunch, for that reason. I think they will be in on him. It just, we're really counting on a lot of old/ coming off an injury there in the bullpen, if that's what you're going to be looking at for half to a third of your bullpen.
Steve.
I'd like the guy's numbers. His strikeout rate's decent. His walk rate's decent. Last year he pitched more innings than he's pitched since 2018. So that gives me good vibes of him being healthy. But with his numbers, I could see this guy being a closer. And I feel like, Terry, you were kind of hinting at that because you mentioned Kenley. You know, like, what are we going to do? And I was like, I could really see this guy as a closer. And if he did 70 innings last year and stayed healthy for the most part and produces those numbers, he wouldn't be a bad option coming in, you know, if it's a late eighth inning, ninth inning, close it out kind of guy. I'd feel kind of confident with him. So yeah, I think they should be in on him. If it's not us, it's going to be somebody else that's looking for a closer. And it's going to be, I'm guessing, like a, you know, tail end of a package or, you know, something cheap to add in at the end. Like, we need to, you know, fill this void of a closer. He'll fit the bill. I think he'll do well with us. I think we should go after him.
And not to mention, I mean, you're most likely, I know they're saying Whitlock could start. I think we all know the reality of that, and all indications are they're going to be aggressive and getting legitimate starters in there. So he's going to be in the back end of the bullpen. Justin Slayton profiles as back end of the bullpen type guy. So to have Hendricks in there and then you add a Robertson type guy, I wouldn't be worried at all about the bullpen. And I infamously say that every year, and then we do go through some rough stretches, but I just think those group of guys can figure it out, and they'll find one or two other, you know, fringe guys to bring in to hold down the sixth and seventh innings when some of them isn't available. But Robertson, I like it. And you know, if you want another veteran in that clubhouse, kind of like an anti-Kenley type guy, I think Robertson certainly can provide that. He was also, interestingly, I forget what the title is, but every team has, I think it's a union representative, actually, one player from every team. And Robertson was that guy on that Yankees staff for at least one or two years. So certainly a guy who can interact with talent and be a leader. So I wouldn't mind seeing it. Next on the list, we're kind of moving right through him. I think it's another Japanese player, Tamayuki Sugano. He's projected to get a one-year, $12 million deal. He's actually, I don't think the Red Sox are going to be interested, but he's won the Sawamura Award, which is the Japanese equivalent of the Cy Young. He's won that twice. So certainly a guy, you know, that's got a good track record over there. He's an older player. Oh, how old is he? I had it a minute ago. But nonetheless, I mean, a lot of mileage.
35.
Okay, I knew he was up there. Not a guy that I think, again, fits with where the Red Sox are at. So I'll just say that. Do you guys have any more thoughts on Sugano?
Coming off an elbow issue in 23 scares me at 35. And again, he's a right-handed thrower. So unless you plan to move one of the other righties, it doesn't make sense to me.
There's going to be adjustment too. Like, him coming over and playing in these leagues against these players and all the things that we do differently than they do in those in the leagues in Japan. I think that he's too old to take a transition like that.
Let me say this.
Hard pass. He'll probably find a home. He probably will find a home, just not with us.
Well, if he's won the Sawamura Award twice, I mean, why wasn't he here sooner is what I'm thinking. But and those were, 'cause
he,
like,
got a fat paycheck
in Japan.
Like, he got a real real big deal over in the MVP or whatever that kept him an additional 4 years there.
Yeah, that could be.
So, like, he got a fat bag over there, and now he's just trying to come over here and, you know, get what he can, or maybe just show what he can do sportsman wise in this league, but he got his fat paycheck over there. That's why he's so late to the game coming in here.
All I'll say is this. If we've got a chance at Roki Sasaki and Sasaki says, I want Sugano to come with me, then I would do it. That's literally the only.
That's fair.
Yeah, yeah. And they must be somewhat familiar with each other, but. All right, next on the list, this would have been intriguing perhaps 2 or 3 years ago, not so much anymore. soon to be 42-year-old Justin Verlander is on the free agent market. He's projected to get a 1-year $12 million deal. The MLB trade rumor writers have him going to the Phillies, Giants, and Dodgers. So all relatively big market teams. I'll just tell you, I mean, Justin Verlander is my favorite non-Red Sox player of all time. I've advocated for either signing him or trading for him in the past. If you could put me in a time machine, go back to 2016, I'd have traded for him instead of Chris Sale. I still think we would have won in 2018 and perhaps another time beyond that. But I'm no longer interested. His fastball velocity has dropped. I mean, it's still a semi-respectable 93.5 miles an hour, but the injuries are cropping up, and I respect the fact he still wants to continue his career at this age. I mean, he's married to Kate Upton, has all these mansions and exotic vehicles, and he could be doing so many other interesting things in his life, but he still wants to do the grind of being an MLB baseball player, and I respect that. And if we had a stud top of the rotation, I might do a deal with him with like a $5 million base and, you know, incentives of up to an extra 10 to 12 million beyond that. You know, if he pitches 130 innings, if he strikes out 150 guys, you know, those type of escalators, I wouldn't mind throwing in there. But this could very well be a Corey Kluber type signing for whoever does sign him. And I don't trust that he's going to pitch more than 100 innings, you know, with his injury history in the last couple of years. But Jeremy,
I have absolutely no interest. None. He doesn't fit based on the current roster. I think the Astros kept him off their playoff roster, so they didn't even feel like he could pitch out of the bullpen. This would be the type of guy that you would sign to have ready for the playoffs, and he didn't even pitch in the postseason. So I also like Verlander. I like his toughness. I like that he wants to still play the game. I never fault aging professional athletes for still wanting to play a kid's game. I probably would have done the same thing. So, you know, all those things make sense to me, but him being on the Red Sox does not.
Steve.
Yeah, I got a soft spot for the guy, obviously. I mean, especially seeing his success in his later years and things like that. Seeing someone that can stay in the game for that long, you got to, like, tip your hat there. It, for the price tag they're projecting, even for a 1 or 2 year deal, I don't think he's a good fit for us per se. I think wherever he lands, and I'm sure he's going to land somewhere, someone's going to do that. For us to pick him up, I think it was very reminiscent of what you mentioned, Terry, the Kluber deal. It just, no. Like, is that right on that one?
Yeah.
Yeah, like, I mean, like, picking up, you know, somebody way past the, he might have 1 or 2 more in him or something like that, but I just don't think he really fits where we're going, the direction that the Red Sox are headed. I'm pretty sure, like, just for nostalgia purposes and the things that he's done over his career, he's going to be pitching next year, just not for us.
Yeah, I mean, I wish him well. I hope he does. I mean, the Phillies were mentioned in there. I wouldn't mind seeing that. I mean, that's a team that can do it. You've got Noah and you've got Wheeler at the top of it. You got one more year of Ranger Suarez. So go ahead. You know, they can take the chance, and I would love to see it. And if he gives you 150 quality innings of a ERA, you know, 3.5 to 4, I would say that's a very successful season for a 42-year-old. So I'm rooting for him, but I just don't want to be the team that takes a chance on him. I mean, we're looking at a similar risk with Giolito, who didn't have the full Tommy John. He had the bracing procedure, which isn't something that's been done often with starting pitchers. So I don't know how that procedure is going to hold up. Rich Hill is the only one that's had it in the United States and gone on to still have a lengthy career. So So we've got enough wild cards in our rotation. And yeah, how much money do you think Verlander's made in his career? Just throw a number out there.
Just from contracts?
$240
Yeah. Wow, that's quite a discrepancy.
just over 400.
400. 400?
Yeah.
That's from contracts, or is that from like endorsements and all this other stuff?
No, just contracts.
Get out of here.
Yeah, well, the last 2 years helped that significantly. I mean, he still would have been higher than what you guys guessed, but he made $43 million in each of the last 2 years. So,
pulled a 43 AAV for the past 2 years.
Well, it came
just,
off
just from contracts.
Yeah, he signed it right after his Cy Young season. So,
okay, all right,
that's
fair enough.
That's when you want to cash in.
He's probably going to command a bigger paycheck than what we're giving him credit for, just because of that.
I think the 12. I think MLB trade rumors is on it. I mean, but maybe he gets escalators. I wouldn't mind
innings, maybe.
I would, yeah, innings, strikeouts, typically number of starts, maybe. Maybe a bonus if he pitches multiple postseason games type thing. Some of them will put a top 10 Cy Young one in there. I think that ship has kind of sailed, but
I mean, as an aging player though, like, I feel like that's a good thing. It's like, hey, like, we're going to let you come and play, and then you have these incentive bonuses. So if you do go actually out there and, you know, kick butt, then you get the extra payday.
Right. The next guy sort of fits a similar bill in slightly different circumstances. I've seen this guy's name get kicked around. Spoiler alert, I'm not going to be interested. That's Shane Bieber, a one-year, $12 million deal. He had Tommy John last April, actually. So it's far-fetched that, yeah, and it says he will likely be out into next summer. Like, that's all we've done. You know, we did it with Paxton. We did it while we waited for Sale. We already had him, but the promise was that he was going to come back and be a big factor. So I'm not feeling it as far as Bieber goes. He is a former Cy Young winner. He was the ace of the Cleveland Guardians staff, but over the last handful of years, his velocity has dipped, his strikeout rate has dipped, and maybe the Tommy John will fit that, will fix that a little bit. But again, and he's only 30, but not a guy I want to mess with, Jeremy.
So that liar, Sam Kennedy, came out yesterday and said the Red Sox want to win multiple East Division divisions and compete for the World Series. You're not going to do that with the current rotation and taking shots on guys like Shane Bieber. They need to go get a top of the line left-handed starting pitcher, either by free agency or trade. This is not that. This is trying to seek a good deal because of the Tommy John situation, hoping that he's going to be ready to go fully in 2026 or maybe down the stretch in 2025. I don't want that. I want somebody that's a more of a known commodity. So for me, I'm big time out on Shane Bieber as well.
Steve.
Yeah, same here. I'm big out on him as well. I mean, the potential that we wouldn't even see him until like midsummer next year. And like, he's a right-hander, and I don't know. Genuinely, I think Cleveland's probably going to keep him. The only, I guess, caveat that I think that we might, like, look at him is his age. And, you know, he's going to want a one-year deal. So if for some reason he can fill a hole, but I don't see him filling a hole in our bullpen at all, that would be the only thing that would entice us to get him, because he's going to be looking for a one-year deal now, and then he's going to be looking for a longer deal next year just because of his age, how contracts work with pitchers and things like that. Once you hit like going in from 31 to 32 at free agency, like your options, your money goes way down. So I think he's going to look for a 1-year deal. And the fact that he's only looking for a 1-year deal is what might make us take a second look at him. But he really has no place here at all. I really think Cleveland's going to keep him.
Yeah, I mean, this would be a Heim Bloom type move. And, you know, these moves need to be happening at the back end of rotations. And, you know, according to Bloominomics 101, that, you know, he thinks that's how you get your ace. So who knows? Maybe the Cardinals will do it now that Bloom isn't officially the number one guy, but he will be the following season. It's going to be a transitional year for that, apparently. But still, it's a... As we've essentially covered, we've seen this movie before, and no sense doing it again. We're moving right along here. We just got three left. Number 43 on the list is Haesung Kim. He's projected to get a 1-year, $12 million deal. The writers have him going to the Padres, White Sox, and Braves. He did just have shoulder surgery. He's not expected to start the season right away, but I don't think he's going to miss too much of the season. He's best known for playing second base for the San Diego Padres. I think he comes from Korea, if I'm not mistaken. 4 years in Major League Baseball. He's got a career .242 batting average, .326 on base. 47 home runs, which I think is somewhat respectable for the 4 years. The bulk of those came in the middle 2 years, 2022, 2023. Those were very good years for him, by the way. He hit .251, .260 respectively, but in 2023, his on base was all the way up to .351. So not a bad guy, you know, in the probably the 5 to 7 hole part of your order, but not a fit. You've got nothing but depth in your middle infield. Christian Campbell is a stud second baseman. He's probably going to be up more sooner than later. I would say he even has a shot to make the team out of spring training. You also have Trevor Story ending the year on a good note. He will be starting at shortstop. There's just no place for him. He was a popular trade target on social media a couple years ago. That probably would have been the time to get him. We didn't. I don't think it would have helped because pitching was our Achilles heel anyway. Quality player, but just not a fit for the Boston Red Sox. Jeremy.
Yeah, so, I mean, I don't know about the depth so much because Trevor Story is obviously a candidate to get hurt basically every year. Second base was a revolving door last year and a complete and utter dumpster fire. I think I complained about it every chance I got. And I like Campbell, and I hope he makes the club, and I hope he's the next Pedroia. But, you know, if you want to be more patient with him and go – the Kim route, it's going to shore things up defensively. He gets on base. He's more of a slap hitter, doubles hitter, doesn't hit a bunch of home runs. I think I saw something when I was prepping that he was a 2.1 defensive war, which was third best at shortstop. And overall in 2024, a 2.6. So he's a plus player. And I think he would maybe even if it is just for 1 year shore up second base, because obviously Trevor Story is going to play short until he's hurt again. So that's my position on it. I don't know the player. I've obviously seen him play and he's coming off an injury. So that's always concerning, but obviously these deals get signed after medicals are completed. So.
Steve.
Yeah, I think barring like his injuries or whatever, he'd be more one of the top at this list. He would be a great fit for us just as an insurance policy, like what Schilling was saying, you know, like get somebody in there that knows how to play the position and can consistently get on base. And his doubles, like they're decent. I wonder how they'd translate if he was playing half of those games at Fenway and bouncing around off our walls and stuff. He's pretty quick. I think he would fit well. I actually think he would fit better at shortstop and put Story back at second base where he was playing before he came to us, if I'm not mistaken. Was that right? Was he a second baseman in...
For, I think so, for the most part, yeah.
So, I mean, just to have that insurance policy and to allow our younger guys to grow a bit more and not push them into that position, yeah, I see it as a positive, but his injury stuff, that's a tough one. I'd be in on him. I don't think the Red Sox would be in on him, but I'd be in on him.
He also did win a gold glove in 2023. So, you know, defense has been the hallmark of our failure, aside from pitching. So, I think he does have a lot of value to the right team. I just don't think it's us at the moment.
Was his name getting floated around with us during the trade deadline? I remember somebody getting really excited saying, like, we could use this guy at that time, which at the time we definitely could have used a middle infielder.
I remember it more last winter was when a lot of it was, but I mean, he's a popular player, really, you know, at the deadline and throughout the winters. And that Padres team has always been loaded as far as offense. So they've always had the, you know, the flexibility to deal him if they wanted to. But yeah, he also just turned 29. So, I mean, he could have a pretty lengthy year career here in MLB. And I hope it happens. I'm always critical of the hitters that come out of the Asian markets, but it's, I would say at this point in time, it's, you know, this is the peak, you know, in MLB for that market. I mean, Suzuki has hit pretty well. Obviously, Ohtani. I know I'm forgetting one or two more. Yoshida has done okay at times. But yeah. All right, let's move on here. This is an interesting one. I might be a little bit open-minded. Tommy Kahnle is, you know, a pretty tenured reliever. Spent last year with the Yankees. I don't have his baseball reference page up, but just a solid, you know, seventh or eighth inning guy as he's been throughout his career. Yeah, he spent most of his career with the Yankees. He did go to the Dodgers in 2022. He might have looked like he might have been hurt in 2021, but in 13 appearances with the Dodgers, a 2.84 ERA. With the Yankees, a little bit better in 2023 with a 2.66, and then probably the best year of his career in 2024 with a 2.11 ERA. He's got a strikeout per nine, just under 10, very respectable. What's his walk rate? Walks have been an issue, I guess, the last couple of years, but still, you know, he seems to be holding them on base at least. Again, I mean, I'd probably prefer Robertson, but, you know, a guy that could certainly serve as a good insurance policy here. How old is he? Yeah, well, this will be his age 35 season, but still, nonetheless, I would probably be interested. But Jeremy, thoughts on Kahnle?
So I misspoke earlier and thought Martin was signed. He's not. So that's one less old arm. But again, we're talking about a guy who, you know, relies tremendously on his changeup, threw some ridiculous amount in a row in the postseason. The money, I would need to know the money. Because I don't want it to affect the balance of the roster and going to, you know, left-handed starting pitcher, right-handed bat and all those sorts of things. And in addition to if the Soto thing happens, which it won't. And I don't know. I've never overly feared him. So I don't know. I mean, a depth piece for the bullpen, seventh inning guy, but he doesn't excite me, as a fan. So I think there's more. I think you get more from a live arm that can come in and plus fastball and a second pitch than this guy. So I'm not excited about it.
Steve.
No, I'm going to pass on this one. If I was making the decision anyways, I mean, his strikeout rate's pretty decent, but he doesn't have anything we don't already have. I'm sure he'll shore up somebody's bullpen, but not ours. Enough said.
He's trying to get his how he pitches at Fenway, but that part of Baseball Reference is confusing for some reason. I guess I'm the most interested in him. I just think for the right money, the right years, the $13 million he's projected to get, that's 6.5 per, not a massive, investment. I don't know what Andrew Bailey could do to him. I'm not necessarily even an Andrew Bailey guy at this point. I hope he makes me change my mind this year, but yes, so we'll just move on. Last player on the list. Oh, this is a dud. Right away, I'm not even going to give a long take on him. Kyle Gibson, a career number 4 or 5 starter, spent a lot of it with the Baltimore Orioles. I think he just most recently pitched with the St. Louis Cardinals, if I'm not mistaken. Projected to get a 1 year, $13 million deal. That seems to be the theme for the guys in this part of the list. But he'll give you some nice outings. I mean, he's kind of like Pivetta in terms of consistency, as well as eating innings. He did pitch just a tick under 170 this past year. So, but he had a whip of 1.35, an ERA of 4.24, which is actually a good year for Gibson, because he's had some bad ones. 4.73 in 2023. That was with Baltimore. Looks like, he pitched with the Phillies in 2022, but he had a 5.05 ERA. Just not a good pitcher, and I'm not interested. Jeremy?
I am not either, for two reasons. He's 37 years old and he's a right-handed pitcher. And his numbers weren't terrible, like you mentioned. He pitched 170 innings, but we have to get some left-handed starting pitching. I've said it a million times. I'm not going to say it more than that, but he doesn't seem like an option for this club.
Yeah, I don't see him being an option at all either. I do love how he eats innings. I think that'll be very pertinent come trade deadline. So whoever picks him up now, they're hedging their bet that they can pawn this guy off at the trade deadline as an inning eater, because that's what he is. He'll come in, he'll chew some stuff up and get you through it. I don't think that he fits with us. Right there with you, Schilling. I can't really add much more to it.
Nobody interested in Gibson. We were pretty well aligned for much of this episode. Maybe a little bit of disagreement on Canely, but yeah, we'll wrap on this. I hope you guys enjoyed it. They're gonna get better and better as we go, because the lists are gonna be, as we go up it, are gonna be more enticing. So stay tuned for that. Tentatively, the next one will be recorded Sunday night, barring no developments. If they are, we'll cover that and we'll push the next installment of this series back a couple days. So everyone have a, we'll be on one more time, I guess, before the holidays. But if you don't happen to listen to the next episode before then, have a good Thanksgiving. Don't eat too much turkey. Please don't drink and drive. And be safe and have a good weekend. Take care.